Morning. Today's Daf Me'ilah is Tess. We are in the Mishnah on Testament Aleph. 10 lines from the top of the Amud. Mishnah is going to continue its discussion along what happens when you do the carbons correctly. Okay. Sounds like something we should be able to discuss back in the first parak, but as we already pointed out yesterday when we started the second parak of the Masechta, the Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, when organizing the Mishnayos of the first two parak of Me'ilah, so the first parak is describing what happens when things go wrong. That's the first parak of the Masechta. The second parak of the Masechta is describing what happens when things go correctly. So yesterday, we had a Chatzos Ha'Of in which we did correctly, and we talked about three stages. We talked about the stage of Mishahuktisha, when you're Maktish the Chatzos Ha'Of. You did Malika and Hazas Adam. Okay, yesterday we went over a couple of points through the Gemara until we got to the next Mishnah. Last point we just discovered or investigated was, what about Mitzui? Mitzui Adam, the squeezing of the blood. After you sprinkle the blood of the Chatzos Ha'Of, so then there's a Mitzui requirement. And that Mitzui requirement, that pressing of the blood, is certainly part of the Avoda. Is that an essential part of the Avoda? So funny you should ask. Gemara debated that issue yesterday, and it ended off with Machlokas. Machlokas not only amongst Amoraim, but Machlokas even within Amoraim and within Tanaim. Right, Rabbi Shmuel's position, as we learned at the end of yesterday's daf, totally unclear. Some say he held it's ma'akiv, some say it's not ma'akiv. Okay, with that stated, we're now up to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah over here is going to take us through every other carbon that's done properly. And basically what we're going to do is we're going to have, for each one of these carbonos, we're going to have a check mark. Or we're going to have a benchmark. And basically, we're going to get to the point of Makdish, of being Makadishit, and we'll see what happens there. And the point of Zrikas Adam, and we'll see what happens there. And for every one of them, it's going to basically follow the same pattern that we saw already in our Mishnah, in that it's going to be, in the previous Mishnah, in that there are going to be three checkpoints. You'll see. The Mishnah starts off with Olas Ha'Of. So as far as Olas Ha'Of is concerned, so you imagine that this is exactly where we're going to be starting here in the Mishnah. The previous Mishnah was Chatzos Ha'Of. So this now Mishnah is going to take us to the Olas Ha'Of. So Mo'alim Ba Mishahuktishu. So the point you were Makdish, as we learned in Rashi in yesterday's Daf, it means Makdish Bepeh. You verbally designated it as an Olas Ha'Of. So at this point in time now, it is subject to Me'ilah, because now it's Kachi Hashem. And Nimlaka, now you do Malika, that is the procedure in which you're shechting the bird, by the Kohen pressing his thumbnail into the back of the neck of the bird. So Huchshuli possible Tvul Yomu V'chusu Kippurim. Now it's going to be Tumah sensitive, like we discussed extensively in yesterday's Daf, that if somebody who is Tameh, even a residual Tumah, like a Tvul Yom, which means that he told from the mikvah, he's waiting for sunset, or Mechusa Kippurim, somebody who has Tovel the Mikvah and experienced sunset and is now waiting for day 8 in order to bring his Karbanos. So these are people with residual Tumah, and yet, because now you did Malika with the Olas Ha'Of bird, so now it's going to be Tumah sensitive, and if the Tameh touches it, it becomes Tameh. Again, just doing what we did yesterday, the critical reading of the Mishnah, Leap Hasel, which means that it's going to be the end of the road Tumah, a reveal of Tumah. We already made this observation yesterday. I'm just reiterating. Uva Lina, it's also going to be subject to Lina as well. And again, yes, like we said yesterday, it could be talking about the blood. Tosfos yesterday gave another pshat as well, but let's assume it's talking about the blood. Meaning once you do Malika, now the blood has to be pressed against the Mizbech by the end of today. And the end of today means by sunset today. If not, so then it's going to be disqualified through Lina. This also triggers at the point of Malika. So we have so far A, the point of you being Makdishit, B, the point of Malika, and now C, Mitzadama. Now you do Mitzui, and that means you're squeezing the blood of the Olas Ha'Of. By the Olas Ha'Of, parenthetically, there is no Zrika. There's no Hazza'ah. You don't swing the bird in the direction of the Mizbeach and apply the blood to the Mizbeach. That is only done by Chatzos Ha'Of. By Olas Ha'Of, it's just Mitzui. And therefore, at the point of Mitzah, which is equivalent, obviously, to the Zrikas Adam of a regular Karban, so now, Chayav Nalav, Mishum Pikol Nosu V'Tameh. So now it's going to be subject to Pikol Nosu V'Tameh. Why? Because now it's consumable. And I'm being very careful about the words I'm using. Consumable, now not edible, because edible, we don't eat it. In other words, it's an Olas Ha'Of. It's consumable, now it goes on the Mizbech. But because now you did Mitzui, it's now eligible to be put onto the Mizbech, and therefore it's going to be subject to all the disqualifications of being of consumability. Made up word, but it works for today. Pigel, Noser, and Tameh, those are disqualifications which takes place for something which is now able to be put onto the Mizbeach. This occurs at Mitzui Adam. And ma'ala. Now, me'ila here continues. Right? Remember, me'ila started at the point you were makdashit. Me'ila now is going to continue. It's not going to be removed with the mitzvah adam. Why not? Because as we've said time and again, as long as it's kashya Hashem, as long as it's supposed to go on to the mizbech, it's subject to me'ila. Now our ola sa'of bird, you were makdashit, you did malika, you did mitzui, and now it's going to go on to the mizbech. Therefore, it's still subject to me'ila. Achetetze lebeis adeshen. And the only time that the me'ila is going to be gone is it's when reduced to ash. Meaning, obviously, on the mizbech, it's going to be burned. It's going to be burned to a crisp. Not only to a crisp, more than to a crisp. It'll be burned to ash. At the point where it's burned to ash, then me'ila is going to be removed. Later this morning, we're going to discuss at what point exactly is it considered reduced to ash. Reduced to ash and on the mizbech, reduced to ash and removed off the mizbech. We will discuss that point a little bit later this morning. Parma nisrafim. We're now moving karbanos. And here what we're going to be doing in this Mishnah is basically we're going to be covering every karban, and we're going to do the same thing again. The exercise is the same exercise. We're going to go through every one of the checkpoints and see what exactly occurs with every one of the checkpoints. So when we're talking about parma nisrafim, those are the bulls that are to be burnt outside of the mizbech. These are special chataos. These are what's called chatos apnimios. Chatos apnimios because instead of the usual chatos where the blood is sprinkled on the outer mizbech, these chatos have their blood being sprinkled on the inner mizbech. That's why it's called chatos apnimios. For these chatos, the meat is not going to be eaten by the kohanim, but rather, for these chatos, the meat is going to be burnt in a place outside of the azara, referred to as the Beis Hadeshen. These chatos apnimios are, we know the most popular, the chatos apnimios, are the ones that are offered on Yom Kippur, right? The par and the seer of Yom Kippur, they're examples of chatos apnimios, but there are others as well. Anyway, parim ha-nisrafim, as far as the parim nisrafim is concerned, usi'irim ha-nisrafim, and the goats that are burnt on the inner, where the blood is sprinkled on the inner mizbeach. So mo'alin bahem isha huktashu. So again, checkpoint number one is your makdashit. So once your makdashit now, me'ila has kicked in, because now at this point in time, it's kachi Hashem. Nishchetu, now you shechted, that's checkpoint number two, hokshuli possible to yom uchus kippurim. So now that you shechted it, it's going to have higher sensitivity towards tuma. If a tful yom or mechus kippurim were to touch it, it becomes pasul, like we described earlier. Uvelina, additionally, now that you shechted, the blood has to be sprinkled by the end of the day, by sunset. Huza daman, now the blood sprinkled. Now again, we're talking about parman serum and nisrafim, which means that the blood is going to be sprinkled in an unusual place, and that means the inner mizbeach. Unusual meaning it's not normal. Normally a chatos is sprinkled on the outer mizbeach. Once the blood is sprinkled in the inner mizbeach, so now it is, again, the word I'm going to use is consumable. So chayev l'mishim pikol noser v'tame, it's subject to pikol noser and tame. Because now that it is going to go on the mizbeach, now when I say it, I only mean the imurim are going to go on the mizbeach. The rest of the animal is going to be burnt. But still, all this can only occur after shechita. So once shechita is done, so now you have all your consumable disqualifications of pigel, noser, and tame. Umo alim bahem bebeis hadeshen ad shiaticha basar. Now, you're taking out to the Beis Hadeshen, you're burning in the Beis Hadeshen. Still subject to me'ila. And the only time that me'ila is going to be removed is when it is burnt to a crisp. Ad shiaticha basar. The meat is totally burnt. Okay. Ha'ola. Now we're up to a standard carbon ola. So from the point that you are makdashit, it now is subject to me'ila. It has a din of me'ila. Nishchata, once you shechtert, hukshurali pasal b'tful yom v'chusa kippurim v'lina. So now, again, we are going to keep drilling this into our heads again and again so that we are going to get so used to the format of the Mishnah. So we're at checkpoint number two of that is being shechting it. And again, once you shecht it now, it has higher sensitivity of Kedusha, higher sensitivity of Tuma. And so therefore, if a Tvul Yom or Mechusa Kippurim were to touch it, it becomes Pasul. Furthermore, once you shecht it, now you're on the clock for Lina. The blood has to be sprinkled by the end of the day. Mishin Nizrak Dama, once it is sprinkled, once the blood sprinkled on the Mizbech, Chayav Nalam Mishin Pikol Nas V'Tameh, this carbonola now is consumable, of course consumable to the Mizbeach, eligible for the disqualifications of Pikol Nas V'Tameh, Ve'ein Mo'alin Be'oros, Ava Mo'alin Be'basar. Now, as far as the hide is concerned, the hide is going to be flayed off and the hide is going to be given to the Kohanim. And obviously, being that it is gifts for the Kohanim, it is no longer subject to Me'ila. as far as the meat is concerned, the meat is going to go onto the mizbeach, and so therefore that is still going to be subject to me'ila. Ad shetetzi lebeis hadeshen, and only after it's reduced to ashes and removed to the beis hadeshen, then and only then is the din of me'ila going to be lifted off those ashes. Chatzos v'asham v'ziv cheshal mitzibor. Moving along. Chatzos, asham, and the communal shlamim. Chatzos, asham, communal shlamim fall under the category of kachei kadashim. Communal shlamim are only brought one time a year, and that's Shavuos. Shavuos, the shtei kvasim that are brought on Shavuos have the status of shamit zibor, of zivchei shamit zibor, and so therefore they are going to be lumped together with chatzos and asham because they, even though, despite the fact that they're shlamim, but these unusual karbanos are going to fall under the category of kachei kadashim, and so therefore they're going to be grouped together with the chatzos and asham in our Mishnah. So once again, here we go with our three checkpoints. Ma'alim behem yishahuk tishu, so from the point that you were maktish these karbanos, now it is subject to the din of me'ila. Nishchetu huchshu lipasa b'tfuyom v'chusi kippur mevelina. Once you shecht it, it is now going to be tumah sensitive, like we described already, and also the blood has to be sprinkled by the end of the day. Nizrak daman. Once you sprinkle the blood, chayim lemishum pikol nosar v'tame, it is now subject to the disqualifications of pikol nosar and tame. Those are consumable disqualifications. Ein ma'alim b'basar. Now, there is not going to be a din of me'ila on the basar. The kohanim are eating the basar. There's a mitzvah for the kohanim to eat the basar. And so, it goes without saying, it's obvious that there's no longer going to be a din of me'ila on the meat. Ava ma'alim b'imurehem ashil su lebeis hadeshen. Now the imurim, those select organs and the fats around those organs, which are going to go up onto the mizbech, are still going to be subject to me'ila because those are kachei Hashem, and they will continue to have the status of me'ila until the point of the reduced to ash and removed from the top of the mizbech. Shtei halechem ma'alim behem. We're now talking about the two loaves of bread that are brought on Shavuos. So those are menachos, and they're going to be subject to me'ila mishahuktishu from the time that you are maktishit. That's checkpoint A. Checkpoint B. Karmu betanur. So here now we're talking about a mincha, so it's going to be different than what we've been describing up until now. So we kept getting drilled into our head that checkpoint B is going to be the shechita, but now as we're talking about a mincha, obviously there's no shechita by a mincha. So, karmu betanur. So what we're going to do is that we're going to put it in the oven and bake it in the oven. So once we bake in the oven, hukshuli possible tvuyom of chusik kippurim. So now it is carbon ready. And now that it's carbon ready, so therefore it has that sensitivity. If a tvuyom or chusik kippurim were to touch it, so then it is going to become possible. Let's take out the word lina over here because we're not talking about a carbon anymore. V'lishchot aleim es hazevach. On top of that now you could shecht your karbanos. Remember, on Shavuos, you have the shtei kvasim and the shtei alechem. The shtei kvasim are the matir for the shtei alechem, which means to say that on Shavuos, the way that the shtei alechem is going to be offered is that it is going to have a matir. Generally speaking, by mincha, the matir is a kametz. Over here on Shavuos, the shtei alechem, the matir is going to be the shtei kvasim. It's going to be the two sheep. So when you shecht the two sheep, that serves as the matir for the shtei alechem. But the shtei alechem has to be prepared and baked for the sheep to work as a matir. That's exactly the point the Mishnah is making, is that once the bread is baked, the two loaves are baked on Shavuos, so therefore it is going to be now ready to become huchshar through the shechting of the karbanos. Nizrak daman shel kvasim, once you sprinkle the blood of the kvasim, chayav nalei mishim pikol nosar v'tamei, now the shtei alechem are consumable, and here when we say consumable, we mean actually by the kohanim, and therefore they're eligible for all the consumable disqualifications of pikol nosar v'tamei, v'ein behem me'ila, being now that the kohanim can eat it, obviously, no longer subject to me'ila. Lechem apanim, our next mincha of lechem apanim mo'alam bo mishuk tishu, so you're makdish lechem apanim, and so now it is subject to me'ila. Karam bitanur hochshali possible tvuyom v'chus v'kipurim. Uli hisader al gabe hashulchan. Once they are fully baked, so now, carbon ready, mincha ready, therefore tvuyom and v'chus v'kipurim, and also now that they're baked, they're fully baked, you can put them on the shulchan. Remember the order. We're going to be discussing this in the upcoming Masechtos, in Tamid and in Midos, more in Tamid, that they are put on the Shochan on Shabbos. Now, isn't there already loaves of bread on the Shulchan on Shabbos? The answer, of course, is yes. And what we're going to learn together later on is that the old loaves are coming off. Last week's loaves are coming off. This week's loaves are coming on Shabbos. Of the 12 loaves that are now coming off, they are going to be distributed amongst the Kohanim. Six are going to go to last week's Mishmar. Six are going to come to this upcoming week's Mishmar. The change of the guard, the change of the Mishmar in the base of Mikdash amongst the Kohanim occurring also on Shabbos. We'll talk more about that later on. Anyway, the point our Mishnah is making is that once they're baked, fully baked, so now you can put them on the Shulchan. And, continuing in the Mishnah, Karvo HaBazichin. Now, what's the matir for the Lechem Aponim? We discussed just moments earlier about the matir for the Shtei Alechem, which is the shechting of the Kvasim on Shavuos. What's the matir of the Lechem Aponim? The Bezichin. There are two spoonfuls of a spice, a fragrance, that sits on the top of these two columns of loaves. The loaves are piled up in two columns, six high on each column. And you have two spoonfuls on the top, one spoonful on the top of each of the two columns, making for two spoonfuls in total. These are what's called the bazikin. The actual incense is made up of lavona, translated as frankincense. Doesn't mean anything to me. Sorry. And the Mishnah's point is that once you burn the bazikin on the mizbeach, now this bread becomes consumable and therefore eligible for the consumable disqualifications of pigel noser and tame. The ain bo me'ila, and obviously now that it's consumable, it's no longer subject to me'ila. Ha-menachos. Now, as far as a standard mincha is concerned, up until now we talked about the more unusual menachos, the shtei halechem that's brought in Shavuos, the lechem aponim that's brought every Shabbos, and now we're just talking about your standard mincha. Ha-menachos ma'alim b'hem mishu huktashu, so when you're makdash it, they're subject to me'ila. And kishu b'kli, huchshu li possible tfo yom uve mechusur kippurim uve lina. Now, once you are makdash it b'kli, makdash b'kli means that what you're going to do is you're going to take the kometz and you're going to put it into a second bowl. That is tantamount to the shechita of a karban. And so at that point in time, it is now going to be karban ready, karban sensitive, and therefore sensitive to all the tuma. A tful yom or mechusar kippurim touch it, it's going to become pasul. Also lina, meaning lina over here, meaning that now the kometz has to be offered by the end of today. Krav ha-kometz chayav l'shem hikol nosu v'tumah. Once the kometz is offered on the mizbeach, so now what? Now it is edible, and therefore all your edible disqualifications are in play. Pigel noser and tame.
Time with a time constraint. Edible with a time constraint, yes?
All carbonos have a time constraint. Okay, good. V'ein mo'alin b'shirayim. And also are not subject to me'ila by the leftovers. They're going to be eaten by the Kohanim, obviously. Kohanim are going to eat it, so therefore there's no me'ila. And as far as the kometz is concerned, being that it is going to be burned on the top of the mizbeach, so therefore the kometz is going to be subject to me'ila up to and through it being burned on the top of the mizbeach. And again, the simplest reading of the Mishnah is that it's reduced to ash and it's been removed from the mizbeach then and only then. Is it no longer subject to Mi'ila? Ikan, that was a long Mishnah. That was a good part of today's daf. What we have just learned together is we have gone through every one of the karbanos. Sans the Chatas Hof, which was yesterday's daf. We've gone through every one of the karbanos and we've illustrated when Mi'ila comes, when Mi'ila goes, if in fact Mi'ila goes. And we did that with every one of the karbanos. Okay, so this is really a central Mishnah to the Masechta as it describes Mi'ila. Like literally, step by step, for every one of the karbanos that are offered. Okay. With all that stated, we are now starting the Gemara. Just a couple of fine points that are open for discussion and debate. And that is as follows. Let's say you get benefit from the efer tapuach, the ashes of what is described as a tapuach. Tapuach, we generally translate in modern Hebrew as an apple. We're not talking about an apple, right? Right, I'd say the Big Apple. For most of us in this room, there's right. I do have a Canadian here in this room, so he doesn't understand. But and a Moroccan. Okay, but I say
that the ashes not subject to Mi'ila.
Okay, so that's what we're discussing now. So I say the Big Apple. So what we're making reference to over here is the following. Okay, every day in the Beis Hamikdash there are going to be karbanos that are burnt on the top of the mizbeach, and they're going to be reduced to ashes. Now every single morning. Without exception, what happens is the follows. By the way, the description I'm giving right now, we're going to learn together in Talmud. If you want to follow me, just right here on the page, you can follow me in the Rashi. The first Rashi in the Gemara, where basically I'm going to go through the steps outside in English. But you can follow me in the Rashi, where basically I'm just parroting what Rashi is saying over here in terms of the daily procedure. What happens every day is as follows. You're going to have a pile of ashes, fresh ashes on the Mizbeach. What the Kohen does is he takes a shovel, he goes to the top of the Mizbeach. This is the early morning, before anything else is done in the morning. And with that shovel, he's going to take one shovel full of ash. Actually, he's going to go to the heart of the ashes. Right, he moves the top to the sides, and he's going now to the heart of the ash. And now what he's going to do with that one shovelful of ash that he scooped up is that he's going to descend off the ramp. He's going to go to the east side of the ramp, and he's just three short tfachim away from the amp, from the ramp, and he's depositing those ashes right there on the east side of the ramp. This is what's called in halacha the trumas hadashen. Now, if you think about it, the words make a lot of sense. Dashen is the ashes, and truma just simply means a small portion. That's it. Every day you just take a small portion of the ashes. Okay, now, fine, that's a mitzvah. And with the Trumas HaDeshen now, you have fulfilled the mitzvah of Trumas HaDeshen. That in of itself is a mitzvah bifnei atzma. Obviously, what that leaves you every day is residual ash on the top of the Mizbech. What do you do with that residual ash on the top of the Mizbech? You might really want to move it to the side. Because today, new day of Avodah, new Karbanos are coming. So what you're going to do every day now is you're going to take all the ashes that are left on the top of the Mizbech, and you're moving that off to the side, to another pile, a pile of ash. Hence, therefore, from this point, called the tapuach. I don't know why it's called the tapuach. In other words, it looks like an apple. Not really sure. Doesn't really matter. Anyway, but it's called the tapuach. And that is now the ash pile that we are describing. Now, eventually what's going to happen, obviously, if you're just thinking about regular operations in the Mizbeach, obviously there's going to be an accumulation. And it's going to get to a point where that pile is going to be so large that it's going to need some sort of disposal system. And the ashes don't kind of just disappear. So what happens? So after some point in time, there is going to be a disposal system. Rashi describes over here how sometimes that pile of ash, it can get up to 300 kor. Now, I know enough to say the following. I don't know enough to say how much that actually is in volume. I do know enough to say whenever the Gemara wants to give a description of a lot, 300 kor is the number that it gives. So what they would do is that the Kohen would go ahead and he would remove those ashes. Now, the Rashi over here describes how he would change clothing. He would still wear Big Day Kahuna, but the dirtier Big Day Kahuna in order to remove the ashes. As one can easily imagine, the removing of the ashes of the tapuach is dirty work, and so therefore the Kohen would be wearing different clothing, and that's pshat in the pasuk. Pashat es begadav lavash begadim acherim, right? He's putting on other clothing in order to remove the ashes. This is what's called hotza'as hadeshen. Okay, and that's it. And the hotza'as hadeshen is when the ashes now are going to be taken outside, and they're going to put, and there's a designated area outside of the azara area where this is going to be removed. So, if you've been following me, basically what we've learned together now is that there's something called Trumas HaDeshen, which occurs daily, and then there's something called Hotzas HaDeshen. Eventually, when the pile of residual ashes on the top of the Mizbech heap high enough so that they're going to be removed, so those are going to be removed off the top of the Mizbech. Okay. With all that stated now, here's the question the Gemara is asking. It's really simple, it's really straightforward, and it's going to be a debate. And that is, when now I have done the Trumas HaDeshen, leaving the residual ashes on the top of the Mizbech, moving it now to the side pile of what's called the Tapuach, is there going to still be a din of Me'ilah on those ashes? What are my two arguments? Well, the Gemara is going to give it, so let's see it together in the Gemara. Itmar Hanana Me'afra Tapuach Shagabi HaMizbech. So let's say I get benefit from the ashes of the Tapuach that's on the Mizbech. Rav Amar Imo Alimbo. Rav is of the opinion that there's no din of Me'ilah. Rav Yochanan Amar Imo Alimbo. And Rav Yochanan says there's still going to be a din of Me'ilah. Now, if we're talking about the pile of ashes on the Mizbech overnight before Trumas HaDeshen, it goes without saying. In other words, we cannot say at this point in time, Nase Mitzvaso. The mitzvah is complete. Because do you know when the mitzvah is completed? Trumas HaDeshen. When the Torah instructs the Kohen to take a part, a shovelful of those ashes and remove it, now we say Nase Mitzvaso. The ashes, the mitzvah has been performed with those ashes. And at that, so before that point in time, there's no debate. Rav and Rav Yochanan both agree that those pile of ashes are still going to be subject to Me'ilah. If you get any kind of benefit, by the way, back in the day, ashes were great in terms of putting on wounds. And there were other uses of ashes as well. So the so if you get any kind of benefit from those ashes, so one is going to be subject to me'ila. That's not open for debate. What is open for debate? Ki pligila acher trumas hadeshen. We're talking about after the trumas hadeshen. Rav Amarim Olamba Hare Nasim Mitzvaso. Now Rav's argument is as follows. You did exactly what the Torah instructed. You took off the trumas hadeshen. Anything left over, even though it's still on the Mizbeach, but the mitzvah has been done and performed. And therefore, it's no longer subject to Me'ilah. Rav Yochanan Amar Kevin Dekstiva Lavash Kohen Midobad Kevin Tzarech Lebig Dekuhuna Bekdusha Sakai. And Rav Yochanan says no. And I'll tell you why, says Rav Yochanan. Look, eventually what's going to happen is that those ashes are going to be removed from the top of the Mizbeach. And, as we already pointed out, but now we're setting ourselves up for, sorry, Rav Yochanan's point, but now that the Kohen has to remove these ashes, but the Kohen doesn't wear his own clothing. He still wears Big Day Kahuna, albeit inferior Big Day Kahuna, but he still wears Big Day Kahuna as he goes down to the top in order to get those ashes. What do you see from that? You see from that that that's still considered an avoda, and that's still considered part of the mitzvah of the ashes on the top of the Mizbeach. So Rav Yochanan's argument is that we're not completed, we haven't completed and concluded the mitzvah as it relates to ashes. Therefore, only when the ashes are totally removed off the Mizbeach, then only then is it Nasa Mitzvah and is no longer subject to Me'ilah. Okay, and so what do we have over here? A machlokes between Rav and Rav Yochanan. The ashes of the Tapuach, are they subject to Me'ilah, yes or no? Rav says no, Rav Yochanan says yes. And now what the Gemara is going to do is see which of these positions speak itself out more clearly amongst the Mishnayos. So let's take a look back at our Mishnah. Tanan, we looked at our Mishnah. Ma'alim Bahem Ashetesi LeBeis HaDeshen. The Mishnah says it's subject to Me'ilah until when? Until it's removed to the Beis HaDeshen. The Mishnah is really broadcasting the position of Rav Yochanan. Couldn't be clearer. And the Gemara says, Kashal Rav, and it's difficult for Rav. Amlecha Rav, Achetire LeBeis HaDeshen. Rav says, you know what, I could read the Mishnah my way. What the Mishnah means is not until it's actually removed, but what the Mishnah means is once it is eligible to be removed, i.e., it's been moved over to the Tapuach, then it is going to, it is no longer going to be subject to Mila. That's how you could read the Mishnah. So the Gemara reads the Mishnah in defense of Rav. Meitzvah, the Gemara challenges once again as we are now on the top of Testament Beis. V'kulin shepaku me'agabe ha-mizbeach. All right, there's a lot of heat on the top of the Mizbeach, right? There's a fire raging on the top of the Mizbeach, so there is a lot of heat. So heat obviously creates energy, and what's going to end up happening is that you have pieces of carbon just flying off the Mizbeach. So what do? It's very simple. You pick it up, you put it back up top. So, shepaku me'agabe Mizbeach, lo yachzir. So, the Mishnah over here is describing pieces that do not need to be put up top, back up top. Now, Rashi over here fills in the blanks in terms of what doesn't have to go back up on top. Meaning, if it's carbon that needs to be burned on the top of Mizbech, obviously it needs to go back up on top. So, Rashi over here writes, we're talking about bones, horns, hooves, meaning not meat. When attached to the meat, so obviously it needs to go back up on top. But if it's something like bones, where you did put on the top of the Mizbeach and the heat and energy just threw it right off the Mizbeach. So if it's just bone that fell off, so we don't have to put it back up again. Good. And that's the part of the Mishnah that we're really not interested in right now. We're interested in the next part of the Mishnah, which is V'chein gachelas shepaka me'al gabei Mizbeach lo yachzir. So if our gachelas, which is a coal. Now, it's a coal of what exactly? So stay tuned as we're gonna try to figure it out. So hagacheles, if I have a coal that flies off the Mizbeach, it does not need to be put up on top. Now, ha'agabe Mizbeach yachzir. Now, that means to say that if it jumped around on the Mizbeach itself, so that means to say that this coal was on the side pile, on the tapuach pile. So what it sounds like from the Mishnah is put it back there. Now, bishlam l'Rav Yochanan nichan. Now, according to Rav Yochanan, that's perfect. Because Rav Yochanan says that that pile of ashes, that secondary pile of ashes, is subject to Me'ilah until it's taken off the Mizbeach. So therefore, if some fire moves it around, and some of the heat moves it around, so according to Rav Yochanan, it actually makes perfect sense. You just simply put it back to that pile. Ella Rav Kasha, but according to Rav, it certainly is difficult, because according to Rav, once it's been reduced to ash, so therefore it's no longer subject to Me'ilah, even while on the Mizbeach. So Amlecha Rav, Shani Gachelas, Diz Be Mashasha. And Rav gives an answer, which very intuitive, and that is, well, there's a difference between ashes and this charred piece of meat. Charred piece of meat is not ashes. a charred piece of meat still is subject to burning, and therefore it is the mitzvah is not yet completed. Rav is just simply going to argue that the mitzvah is completed only when it's been reduced to ash. Now what we're basically going to do is we're going to go over this give and take again. In this round, we're going to be starting from the other direction. Here, as we analyze the brisa, we're just going to make the observation that only because it's a charred piece of meat does it need to be returned. If it's ashes, it doesn't need to be returned. And now we're looking at it immediately as a support for Rav. So the Rav Nicha, the Rav Yochanan Kashi, I'm like Rav Yochanan, who didn't feel afar, or I should say better afer. Now Rav Yochanan will tell you, no, even if it's reduced to ash, it still needs to be returned. V'hainu time diktani gachelas. Why is the Mishnah talking about a charred piece of meat? Kasi lashminda filo gachelas this be mashasha kipaka me'agabe mizbech lo yachzer. Because a charred piece of meat, so there is a chiddush in the Mishnah in terms of why specifically charred piece of meat. Once it's a charred piece of meat and it goes off the mizbeach, that doesn't have to go back up on top again. That's a chiddush. I would have thought differently, and that's what the Mishnah is there coming to teach me. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of our first discussion and debate of the Gemara. So to recap, the ashes that have been burnt but are still on the top of the mizbeach and yet to have gone through the process of hotza'as hadeshen. Are they subject to Me'ila? Machlokas Amarim between Rav and Rav Yochanan. Rav says it's not subject to Me'ila, and Rav Yochanan says it is subject to Me'ila, and the Gemara gave Svaras and proofs for each of their positions. Continuing. Itmar. Last topic for today is the following. Hanenemi Basar Kachet Kadashim Lefnei Zrikas Damim. V'imur Kachem Kalan La'achar Zrikas Damim. What we're going to be discussing right now is a really simple topic, but important, obviously, and that is, so let's say you did violate Me'ila. You benefited from the meat of Kachet Kadashim, and it was before Zrikas Adam, or the Imurim of Kachem Kalim after Zrikas Adam. So, you obviously have to make restitution. Now again, as we've discussed time and again, when you are Moel Behekdesh, it means the restitution comes in the form of compensation based on the value of that which you benefited, plus Chomish, plus you have to also bring a Karban Asher. Fine. So let's just talk about the money right now. Compensation, and let's even add the Chomish as well. Who gets it? Meaning, quite frankly, it's a simple issue. And that is, where do I actually bring the money to? Where does the money apply towards? So that is the Gemara's discussion. So Rav Amar Masha Nene Yipul Nadava. So Rav says it's very simple. So whatever the value is that which you benefited from, so put it in the pushka. Now when we say the pushka, we mean specifically the pushka of the base of Mikdash where? Olas Nadava. Right, eventually what's going to be happening with this money is that the money is going to be used to purchase olas, in which they're going to be offered at the slow time in the Beis HaMikdash, slow season, so to say. Levi Amar Yavi Davar Shekula Mizbeach. Levi says, no, it has to be something where it's going to be totally consumed on the Mizbeach. Now, what's bothering Levi about Rav's position? Actually, it makes perfect sense. If you benefited from a carbon which you were not allowed to benefit from, and you violated Me'ila, and you now want to make restitution, well, let's consider. If I just put in the pushka like Rav is advocating, so what does that mean? It means that the majority of that money is actually going to go back onto the Mizbeach, but some of that money won't. Because consider, that money is used to buy an animal. Of the animal, the hide's going to the Kohanim, and bones, so to say, are, yes, they're going to go on the Mizbeach, but they're not really being burnt on the Mizbeach. And if it flies off the Mizbeach, we just learned that it's not going to go back up again. Meaning that when you put the money in the Dava, not all that money gets reapplied towards Mizbeach. Some of it does not. So what Levi's objecting to is the idea that if I want to make restitution of Karban, shouldn't the full proceeds of that restitution go towards Mizbeach and something which is totally burnt? And that's why Levi, in fact, argues with Rav. And Levi says, it is davar shekulo mizbeach. It's something which is totally burnt on the mizbeach.
No carbon.
Ah, okay, good. Oh, so wonderful. I'm so happy you made that point. So now, what is something that's going to be totally burnt on the mizbeach? So it's funny. I know the answer because I know the Gemara coming up. If I were in your position right now, where I wasn't primed, I'm not sure if I would have gotten it. Okay, good. But I happen to know the answer. Yavi davar shekulo lemizbeach. Tanya kavasa de Levi miilu zu leichen holheches. So the Gemara says, we're talking about the Ketores. Ah, right, Ketores, perfect. Ketores is an example of an item that is going to be totally burnt on the Mizbech. There's no portion of the Ketores that's not burnt on the Mizbech, so that is where that money should be sent to. So according to Levi, the restitution money that is going to be your restitution of Me'ilah has to be purchased, used for something that's going to be purchased, which is Kula LaShem, and that's going to be Ketores. Tanya Kavase the Rav, the Gemara now is going to bring a Brisa supporting Rav's position. That you could take the money and put it in a Dava and that would be sufficient. The Brisa reads, Hanenim idmei chatzus midmei asham. If you get benefit from the value of chatzus and the value of asham. To explain this Brisa a little bit better. As Rashi over here saying it, I'm just simply rephrasing, repackaging Rashi. What happened over here is as follows. You had money set aside for a carbon chatzus, or you had money set aside for a carbon asham. So, what happened is that you forgot. In other words, it was in a special box. It was even labeled. But look, by any of these cases, right? We're human, right? You woke up. You were a little groggy. You took from the pushka. You took from that money for your pocket change, right? You bought your lunch for. You bought lunch with that money. Delicious. Now you got home and you discovered, oh, that lunch money I took was from the money that I set aside for my carbon chatas. Okay, so you violated me'ila. So now what? So that's exactly what the Bryce is going to tell us what you're supposed to do. So. The anena midmei chatos midmei asham. So ashlo karva chataso. So let's say that you haven't used whatever money is left over, and now you have to make restitution. So what do you do? Actually, the restitution over here is really simple, and that is the lunch money that you took. So obviously you figure out exactly how much you took. And now you take money out of your pocket, right, and you put that money back into the box with the other chatos money. Perfect. So you're just simply going to buy a fatter animal. So Yosef v'yavi chataso. V'ashlo karve ashamo Yosef v'yavi ashamo. And the same thing with the carbon asham as well. If you took a little bit of money out of your asham pushka, and then realizing that you were moel behektesh, you now just simply take money out of your pocket, and you put it back into that pushka, and you just simply buy a larger animal. So it's really easy. Now, here's where it's not easy. Karev chataso. Let's say the following. After you took out your lunch money from the chatas pushka, you bought your carbon chatas, you offered your carbon chatas, now what? Now, that leftover money, meaning that restitution money that you would have put back into pushka, but now you already bought the carbon, so what is that considered? Surplus chatas money. So what do we know about chatas that is chatas money that's no longer needed? Yechul Yam HaMelech, that's exactly what the Mishnah tells us. Yechul Yam HaMelech, you destroy it by putting into the Dead Sea. Kvar karav ashamo, you'll pull in the dove. Now, as far as the asham is concerned, if it's already been offered, so then what you do with the rest of that money, or I should say the restitution money, is you pull in the dove, send it to the pushka. Meaning to say, Rashi over here brings it down, we know that whatever happens to a chatas amesa in a parallel, in a corresponding scenario by asham, so for that asham, it's you pull in the dove. Fine. Hanena mikachik kadashim lefnei zrikas damim v'imurei kachik kalim la'achar zrikas damim mashenena yipul nadava. This is the line of the Brisa that we wanted to hear. This is what is supporting Rav. The Brisa that says that if I benefit from kachik kashim before zrikas adam, or from the imurim of kashim kalim, which is after zrikas adam, or just simply put, carbon that is subject to me'ila, so whatever you get benefit from, yipul nadava. So you obviously have to make restitution. Where does the money go to? It goes to Nedava, exactly as Rav stated. Kol karbanos ha-mizbech le-mizbech, karbanos kashi b'dekabayis le-b'dekabayis. The karbanos of the mizbech goes towards the mizbech. The karbanos of kashi b'dekabayis go towards b'dekabayis. Karbanos sibor le-nedava sibor. And the carbon sibor goes to nidva sibor. Okay, the end of the brisa is where we're going to end right now. Sorry, I know you just got comfortable. The end of the Brisa is where we're going to end off right now, because the end of the Brisa makes statements which are somewhat contradictory to the first part of the Brisa. That's where we're going to pick it up tomorrow, because the Gemara is going to make that observation. And quite frankly, the Gemara's observation takes us more than halfway through tomorrow's, not halfway, but takes us about halfway through tomorrow's daf. So we'll end over here, otherwise we'll just have nothing to say. I have nothing to say tomorrow. I need a job. So I'll leave us off here. So anyway, let's quickly recap. This morning we started the Mishnah on Testament Aleph. We went through every one of the Karbanos. When does Me'ila begin? When does Me'ila end? And as long as we were discussing exactly the parameters of Me'ila, we discussed other parameters as well. When does it become sensitive to Tumah? When does it lose its sensitivity to Tumah? When is it on the clock for Lina? When is it off the clock for Lina? Etc., etc. So we went over many of the checkpoints over every one of the karbanos. The only karban that we didn't go over was Chatas Ha'of, but that's because it was yesterday's daf. But outside of that, we went over Olas Ha'of, Parma Nisrafim, Karban Ola, Chatas, Asham, Shamei Tzibor, Zivchei Shamei Tzibor. As long as I'm here, I'll just finish up. I'll just go through every category that we covered. Zivchei Shamei Tzibor. We then standard minchas, non-standard minchas, the shtei alechem, the lechem aponim, your regular menachos. So we went through an entire litany of karbanos and all the various checkpoints of when does me'ila begin and when does me'ila end. As far as the karbanola is concerned, when does me'ila end? When it's reduced to ash. But even there, we learned this morning a machlokas between Rav and Rav Yochanan. When reduced to ash and it's still on the mizbech and it has not undergone the process of hotza'as hadeshen, not Trumas Hadeshen. If before Trumas Hadeshen, everyone agrees, subject to Me'ila. After Trumas Hadeshen, but before Hotsa'as Hadeshen, is it going to be subject to Me'ila? That is a machlokas between Rav and Rav Yochanan. Rav says it is no longer subject to Me'ila, even though it's still in the Mizbech, and Rav Yochanan disagrees. And finally, when you are moel by a karban, and you want to make restitution, where does that money go to? That too is a machlokas between Rav and Levi. Rav says that it goes towards the davan. Levi disagrees. Levi disagrees because when you put that money in a davan, not every single penny of that dollar that you put in is going to be applied towards something burnt on the mizbech. The oros, the hides are not going to go. So Levi disagrees. So therefore, machlokas between Rav and Levi. We just learned the brisa that is supportive of Rav. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up tomorrow, where we left off. Yeah.